Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
Thank you.
The Bible says that every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights. And I want to publicly thank the Lord for something, for the guitar. It has been something I've been behind for decades and decades. My love affair with the instrument started in the late 50s. I think I saw Ricky Nelson somewhere, and I was so intrigued by it. And the Beatles showed up and all of that. And I remember what it has done for me through the years. I was a terrible public speaker in school. And about 1,000 feet from here, where Kroger is, used to be the old Waterford Township High School. And Waterford Mott, in its second year of operation, was my 10th grade. And we were splitting time in that building. And I was supposed to give a speech. And I was scared to death. And I didn't. So I threw it all out and decided I was going to make an explanation of how to tune the guitar and play a song. And I got such a good response from it. You know, I just kept going. And then there was a real highlight of me and the guitar. Debbie and I were dating, and she was going to dump me. It's true. And I sang her a song. And changed it all, baby. You know what I mean? So this song, it's a secular song, but it's really true for me. This old guitar taught me to sing a love song, taught me how to laugh and how to cry, introduced me to these friends of mine, brightened up some days, helped me make it through some lonely nights. What a friend to have on a cold and lonely night. This old guitar gave me my lovely lady, opened up her eyes and ears to me. You know, we have choices as we go through our life of how we're going to handle each stage of our life. I mean, time moves on. It moves on too fast. I know we don't like it. But we have choices to make. How are we going to live? How are we going to view it? I mean, the Lord gives us, the ability to choose our attitudes about it. So, an old country singer was playing golf with Clint Eastwood. This isn't a joke. This is true. And he said, "Clint, what are you doing?" He said, "I got this movie going. I got this going. I got that going." He says, "How do you do all that?" He says, "Man, I just don't let the old man in.
Don't let the old man in. I wanna live me some more. Won't let him choose. He's knocking on my door. I've known all of my life one day it would end. Get up and go outside. Don't let the old man in. Many moons I have lived. My body's withered and worn. Ask yourself how old you'd be if you didn't know how, what day you were born. Try to love on your wife and stay close to your friends. Toast the sun down each night. Don't let the old man in. Oh, oh, oh. Ask yourself how old you'd be if you didn't know what day you were born. When he rides up on his horse, you feel that cold, bitter wind. Look out your window and smile. Don't let the old man in. Look out your window and smile. Don't let the old man in.
Lord, here we all are. We are your people, and this is your book you've given us. Speak to us today. Help us, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, you guys. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who, through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, has received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own mercy and goodness. Through these he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pretty incredible stuff. Peter writes this at like 60 AD. That's how long ago this was. Peter is in Rome in the last years of his life, probably about 6 years before his death, 7 years before the death of Nero, that tyrant who was the emperor, who, if you remember, he had like half burned down Rome, and he blamed the Christians for it. And so anyone who claimed to follow that way, they would kill them. It was just commonplace. Nero was famous for impaling Christians on a post, dousing them with tar and using them as living torches in his gardens. He was a brutal, evil man. This is the kind of thing these guys were going through when Peter wrote them. It was a very, very difficult time. So Peter takes them back to the very basics, because when you're going through trouble, you need the simple, straightforward answers to things. And maybe you're going through some stuff right now.
Maybe you're just really tired of those things too. Well, let me just give you what he tells them. In chapter 1, he tells them, number 1, the scriptures are true. That's what he tells them. And then in chapter 2, he says to them, beware of false teachers. You know, there's going to be people that go around talking about Jesus, talking about God, and they're in it for the whole reason just to manipulate you for your money. They're everywhere, okay? And so he said, beware of those kind of people. Thirdly, chapter 3, he says, listen, no matter what happens now, the Lord is going to return. He is going to set up his kingdom. He is going to destroy this earth, and we are going to have a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness lives. He gives them those great, incredible things. So, you know, it was easy for them to focus on what was happening to them at the moment. And Peter is so wise to turn them back to look inside themselves and also to look to the future. This is very cool. It's easy to focus on what's happening to us. It's really easy to talk about the political landscape in our country right now and talk about how crazy everybody's acting. It's easy to talk about evil that's going on somewhere. Can you believe those guys in New Zealand? Can you believe this? Can you believe how evil it is? It's so easy to focus on everything else. And Peter turns them back to look inside themselves. Look, there's enough trouble with inside you. Let's deal with you. All right? You're not going to be able to change the world. You have to change yourself, is what he tells them. And this is really interesting stuff. He refocuses them and us to view ourselves as our main project to reform. Boy, I tell you, if my political party could just take control, we'd fix everything. Well, look, we've seen that forever. That's a lie. That doesn't work. You know, the battle, the political battle is part of it that keeps us balanced. Anyhow, it's not pretty. It's ugly. Somebody said no one should see how sausage or laws are made. And that's true. It's ugly no matter what. It's a mess, right? And so that's not going to do it. So it's easy to find somebody else more troubled than me so I can talk about them. Boy, are they crazy, right? Oh, we do that. The Bible says those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. You're messing up. Your focus is all messed up. So Peter strips all that stuff away and makes us look at ourselves. Christ has made us right with God. He shed his blood on the cross so that all who trust in him would be right with God. And now the project he's working on in your and my life is to make us right with one another and make me right with myself, to make us right in our relationships. And he's working on us with all that. We are to work with God to become right in our practical lives. Okay, I'm completely forgiven, but I'm still a sinner. There's some stuff I wish I could get a handle on. I know you feel the very same way about some stuff in your life. God is working on all of that with us. There's two things. There's number one, God's part in all of this. And then the part you're not going to like is number two, our part. He gives us it. It's pretty good stuff. First of all, look at God's part. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need. Now, God has given us his own presence in our lives. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, moved into you. And because of his presence in your life, you have ability that you're not using. It's there. We have everything we need for godliness, that says. Man, that's a very interesting thing. For instance, Paul said in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ, right? He said to the Colossians, for in him, Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You are complete in him. We have this ability, this power, because he lives within us. He said to his disciples, it's for your benefit that I go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter won't come to you. But when he comes, he's going to lead you into all truth. He's going to remind you of what's about, you know, things about me you need to know. He's going to do all this work in your life. We have this power. That's God's part. And by the way, this word power is in the present tense. It's not someday you're going to have it. You got it now. We've got it. Power. Second of all, not only does he's given us power, it also says, through these, he has given us his very great, this is verse 4, very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of this world caused by evil desires. So God gave us power, He's resident in your life. But second of all, he's given us promises. And these promises are very great. They're incredible and precious. When the Bible talks about the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us on a cross, it's the same word for precious. The promises God has given us in his word are precious, and we need to know them. He's given us his promises. This is who we really are. God has done his part. He's given it to us. And these things, it says, he's given us these things so that through them we can participate. It's a gateway for us. You have power in your life to do the right thing. You also have the promises where God has given us his instructions in the scriptures. So he tells us to then participate. That means we got part in this. It's just not all going to happen. All right? You know, if we don't get up and do something about this, it's never going to change. God just isn't going to drop a grace bomb on you and all of a sudden you're not going to struggle anymore. It's part of it. I wish he would. It should be easy for me. But Jesus dealt with our sin. Now he wants us to deal with our own drama, okay? He's dealt with the sin. He wants us to deal with our drama. And he says, add to your faith some stuff. So look at our part now, okay? Our part is awesome. So many believers are just victims. I can't help it. You know, we make so many great excuses. I'm the king of excuses, okay? When anybody brings up something to me about my lack of, character, I don't want to agree. I want to make excuses for me. You ever have that problem? I do that. And we get into this mentality that it's never going to change. Do you ever know those people that they think the only way they're ever going to get ahead is if they have a relative die or if they sue somebody? Do you ever know those guys? And there's this victim mentality. Brad Paisley wrote a song called High Life. Let me give you a line. I can still remember when Grandpa died and our ship came in. Daddy said he left Mom and him more money than they'd ever seen. And just like that, we were thousandaires, got a new boat and a Frigidaire. And all us kids in our underwear were jumping on a trampoline. A bunch of lowlifes living the high life, money burning a hole through the pockets of our holy jeans. Grandpa's with the Lord now, but we got a new Ford now. And we're in our underwear jumping on a trampoline. Now get this. Okay. Money was gone by mid-July, and we went back to just getting by till Mama slipped on a patch of ice outside of Chick-fil-A. Now, we knew they was a Christian bunch, so we didn't ask for all that much. Settled out of court for $10,000 and chicken till our dying day. A bunch of lowlifes living the high life, money burning a hole through the pockets of our holy jeans. Mama's got a limp now, but we get to swim now because we got an above ground sitting out by the trampoline. Okay, that's funny stuff, man. And then, I heard a song a couple months ago. It was Carrie Underwood on the radio. Reminded me of a poem my brother wrote back in second grade. I know she didn't steal it, but so what? We lawyered up and we sued her posterior. These days, we figure we pretty much get paid for going away. Isn't that interesting? There are some that actually feel that way about their own lives, that you actually can't do anything yourself. There's a way out of these holes that we're living, these ruts that we're living in, that the Lord has given us because he's given us his power and his promises. Now, he tells us to add to that. You see, this becoming a Christian thing, it's not just not going to hell when we die and going to heaven when we die. It's not like going online and buying a ticket for Disneyland and then living however you want till you get to go to Disneyland and give them your ticket. It's a change of life. It's a change of identity. It's a change of who you are. And God wants you to participate in this. Do you want to have peace in your life? He wishes them in the beginning of his letter, peace in abundance, okay? You want to know how to get peace in abundance? Of course, through knowing Christ, number one, done. But there's something about not having drama in your life that gives you peace. And if you want to deal with that, we're called to attain this peace by doing some things. Get this. He says, add to your faith, verse 3, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. All right. Goodness literally means manliness, valor. You know what he's telling us to do? Buck it up, Nancy. Okay, that's what he's basically saying. Let's go. Stand up. Let's man up here. Get ready. You've got responsibility. Step up. Take responsibility for yourself. I see a promise in the Bible that I am his child and I'm called to a life that's healthy. Then doggone it, that's who I am. I'm going to do that. I'm going to man it up and take responsibility for it. Pretty important. Add to your goodness knowledge. You know what this means? It's the art of learning. Education is a wonderful thing. You know, education is something that happens for your entire life, though. It's not just something, a degree is a wonderful thing. But a degree doesn't mean you're educated. It means you know how to be educated. And you are learning. This is this seeking to know. This disciples, they're learners. That's what that literally means, right? They're curious. It's a lifetime calling. If you were raised in the church, be careful, because you're going to get bored with this. The tendency is to think, yeah, I got it. Yeah, I know it. And you stop learning. One thing I love about Doris, she is always reading some of the great stuff. Always reading, always growing, always learning. John's sharing stuff with me. I'm reading a book on John D. Rockefeller right now. I didn't tell you earlier, but it's a great, great story. Oh, yeah. It's about how his Baptist faith affected his business. Is that ever interesting? This ongoing learning all the time is something we're all called to. We're called to it. But so many who are raised in the church think they've already attained it. Let me tell you something. Learning is not a destination. It's a journey. It's something we're all on. Let's keep going. Some believers glory in being ignorant. They don't go for all that fancy thinking stuff. They just believe. Well, we should believe, and we do have to take the step of faith, absolutely. There's a whole lot of good reasons to believe this, and we shouldn't keep those reasons from people, and we should know them. We should know the reason why we believe. Ravi Zacharias is incredible ministry, helping. He had a radio show, Let My People Think. I just love it. It's a calling to all of our lives. When's the last time you were in a Bible study? Do you know there's this incredible organization of believers? It's kind of been a grassroots thing that's begun. It's called Bible Study Fellowship, BSF, Intense Bible Study. What a great way to study the scriptures. A bunch of you are involved in that. And I encourage other people, be involved in it. It's great stuff. When's the last time you went to the library? Those are great resources. What are we reading? When's the last time you took a class on something? Step up and keep learning. Here's another one. So when you step up, you man up. And you choose that you're going to keep learning and growing as a person, you're going to be in the scriptures, and the Bible's going to tell you to do certain things and not do certain things. So the next thing after goodness and knowledge, the next thing is self-control. Now you learn some stuff, right? You're manning up, you're learning some stuff. Now do it. That's what self-control is all about. Just do it. It was James who said, don't just, chapter 1, verse 22, just don't listen to the words. Just don't listen to the word. Do what it says. And then he goes on with an illustration of how one-sided that is. We're called to do it. Don't do what you feel. Do what you know. Let's eliminate drama in our lives by doing it. Be quiet instead of speaking your entire mind. Show some restraint. Families blow each other up with cruel words because they can't control themselves. In the name of Jesus, shut up. Just stop it, right? It's so important. Don't do it. It's like pouring gasoline on a fire. Why do you do that? You notice how we kind of feed off of each other? Someone's negative says something bad, and another person just kind of feeds. Stop that. Roger Campbell, in an article that Tim, the Campbell Ministry, put out this week from Roger's book, Everywhere You Go, There's a Zacchaeus Up a Tree. The article that was out this week was about the whole thing of breaking that cycle of negativity with thankfulness. It breaks that. Anyhow, be quiet. And the temptation is going to come from everywhere. Oh, man, I was in downtown Clarkston the other day, you know, doing my pastoral business, right? You know, taking care of stuff. And it was one of those heavy-hanging kind of drizzly days. And, you know, I've been trying to eat right because I want to be healthy, but I love barbecue. Okay, I mean, I love ribs. I'm sorry, I love it. So I'm in Clarkston. They got the wood shop there, right? You know what's back of the wood shop? Their smoker. I go out on Main Street. I'm trying to be a good Christian, good eating boy. And the smoke got me, you know what I mean? It was like, whoo! You just gotta do it, right? I don't like directions. I don't like directions. When you get something to put it together, I wanna know. I know. I think I'm talented. I'm not talented. I gotta follow the directions. Just do what it says. There's a lot of times you're gonna be tempted to go back to that old life, and you just need to do what he says. You won't want to, but just do it. Yeah, the whole Nike thing, right? Just do it. Manning up, learning. Self-control, doing what it says. And then something starts happening to you. Your attitude starts changing. And what you add then is perseverance. You know, you might have been a runner your whole life. And I'm not talking jogging. I'm talking about running from every difficult situation you were ever in. Right? You always were a runner. Well, now you don't run anymore. Your attitude's changed. And you stay. You might have been married 14 times now. Well, don't run anymore. Persevere. That means to hold up under a difficult situation. Persevere. Don't run away. Don't be a runner. Be a stayer. You see that? Pretty interesting. The next thing is this. Brotherly kindness. You might have been a runner before because you thought you were the Lone Ranger. And it was always about me. Always about number one, right? You become a Christian and something changes. You stop being a runner. And the next thing is this. You start viewing other people as your family. All of a sudden, you're in a family. Man, that's a beautiful thing. You don't throw people away because they don't do what you want. You love them. Brotherly kindness, brotherly love. Philadelphia is the word. And then last of all, it all boils down to this. You just start loving folks. I'm a big guy with lists. So whenever I see lists in the Bible, I give them to you. It's just part of the way I'm put together. It's our part in this. It's for us to do this. Man, meanest old guy I ever knew. I can't remember his real name now. He used to go visit my mom and dad in Florida in their retirement village. Man, some of those old guys are mean. You know that? Man, I hope I don't let the old man in. You know what I mean? I don't want to become that. And there was this old man. He barked at everybody. I just barked all the time. But my dad loved him. And my dad had this thing of always wanting to win people over that were difficult. Instead of running away and blocking people out of his life, he would take it kind of as a challenge, okay? So this old guy would call, you know, bah, rah, 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 you know, and bark, and my mother would go, man, what's wrong with that guy, you know? And my dad says, he's a teddy bear. Well, they're out playing golf one day, and he's with a group of about 30 guys. And so instead of calling him by his name in front of all the guys, my dad called and says, hey, Sweetness, come here, Sweetness. He's the meanest old guy ever, okay? What do you mean, come? You just get all upset. Everybody laughed, and he didn't like it. Everybody laughed at him. My dad called him Sweetness forever. One day, he calls the house about a year or so before my mom got really sick. She answers the phone. She knows it's this old guy. He says, Margie, Sweetness here. Is Lloyd there? He started calling himself Sweetness. Do you see this, guys? I mean, it's about influencing and helping other people as we deal with our drama. Everything isn't about me. I'm not going to be a runner anymore. I'm going to actually start seeing people as my brothers and sisters. It's a beautiful thing. And the drama level in your life lowers, and it becomes, life is hard enough without adding all the drama we do to it in our marriages, in our families, and our work environment. Just the stuff that goes on within an office. Let's be an agent for blessing instead of cursing. So, God's done his part. Let's get on it. Let's do our part. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Come on. Lord, thank you for your word. And I ask that you'll just apply it to our lives. Apply it to my life. I ask that you would help us as we continue to cooperate as we take our responsibility and trust your incredible power that you've put into us by your own presence and your promises that are absolutely true that you proved by walking out of the grave alive. So help us all. Thank you, Lord, for this week, this day. we're all walking back into our lives after this meeting here, and use us in the real world, Lord. Use us to be a blessing to others. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.